Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Immediately, the rumours started.
The mysterious death of a legendary sports star.
There's this massive landslide of myth.
Legend of Tahti.
And somewhere in there is the truth.
Part of Amazing Sports Stories from the BBC World Service. Search for Amazing Sports Stories wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Estás escuchando The Fifth Floor.
The Fifth Floor'ı dinliyorsunuz. Bizimle kalın.
Dünya ekte The Fifth Floor farnak amidi sobat.
This is The Fifth Floor, at the heart of global storytelling with BBC journalists from all around the world. I'm your host, Farnak Amidi. A few weeks ago, BBC Urdu's editor, Asif Farooqi, boarded a flight from London to Islamabad. Asif is based here in the UK, but every so often he travels back to his home country, Pakistan, to meet up with the BBC team there. But when he landed in the sweltering heat of Islamabad, something odd happened.
I wanted to call the taxi company. And they usually use WhatsApp for the contact. And when I tried to call them on WhatsApp, it wasn't working.
Asif was not the only person who was experiencing this. In the past few months, people in Pakistan have been having issues using messaging and social media apps. And not just for trivial things like scrolling through videos, but also to access services and carry out business activities. So why is the internet not working in Pakistan? Well, luckily, Asif has a brilliant team of journalists who can help him investigate.
We were covering this story that internet is, you know, slowing down in Pakistan. But we found out was that it was not the internet slowing down. It was certain apps that were slowing down.
It's kind of filtering.
It is. Now, our reporters reached out to the government that, you know, what's happening. They said initially the government said, well, you know, they are setting up some kind of upgrade in the system. And the upgrade is happening. So that's why the internet is slow. Then upgrade wouldn't finish like 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, week, 2 weeks. It's going on and on for like, you know, it's been 3 months that it all is happening. Then they came up with an excuse. Oh, actually, what has happened is that a submarine cable has broken. But no one confirmed that, right? It was just the government of Pakistan saying, oh, submarine cable has broken. And in that case, some of the other countries would also have been affected by it. But there was no one else was being affected. Then they said, well, actually, you know what? We are setting up a firewall in our system because of the security reasons, cyber attacks and all that. So there have been different versions from the government as to why the internet is slowing down, and none of those versions are making sense. What has happened is then the right groups came into, you know, the play, and they said, but actually, this is censorship because the social media apps were slowing down. WhatsApp was slowing down. Signal is almost not working. Twitter is completely banned. So it's nothing but the censorship, which, by the way, government still does not admit to.
So why would they want to filter these apps? What is going on in the background that makes them want to do something like that, allegedly?
Yeah, so now we are entering into the political analysis and political story. So in February, there were elections. And Imran Khan's party, PTI, came out as the largest party with the maximum seats, but not enough to make a government. The other two parties, which were, you know, kind of pro-establishment, they joined hands and they form a government. What happened before the elections, even before the elections, that Imran Khan was put into jail. And what the analyst said and what the PTI claimed, that their votes were rigged.
Mm-hmm.
They even got bigger majority, which was not handed over to them. So there is an unrest in the country because Imran Khan is probably the most popular leader these days in Pakistan, and he's in jail. His supporters, his followers, they are mostly the young people who are very, very active on internet, social media. The government has banned any public rallies. They are not allowed to take out processions, demonstration, nothing of that sort. So they were using the internet, the social media to vent, to, you know, put their viewpoint forward. Interestingly, Imran Khan and his followers, they don't blame the political rivals for whatever happened during the elections or that he's in jail. They blame the military chief, the army chief, for all whatever is happening with Imran Khan and his party. So the target was the army chief.
Mm-hmm.
And now that is a bit, you know, tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians are thought to be thick-skinned.
Mm-hmm.
They can take criticism. You don't want to mess with the army chiefs.
And on top of all of that, you have the economic situation as well.
Yeah.
Tell us about what is going on economically in the country.
This is, again, very interesting because, you know, the internet and the economy, both are related with political situation in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is serious economic crisis in the country. Last year, Pakistan had the highest ever inflation and highest in the region inflation, like touching 40% officially, but unofficially even greater than that. And that really played havoc with the lives of the people.
How does that translate into people's everyday lives? Like when you went to Pakistan, did you see it? Did you see the change? What did you see?
So I was, you know, partly staying at my brother's house, and he has a nice house, 4 bedrooms and, you know, lounge and everything. But they were all sleeping in one room. You know why? Because they could not afford to switch on the 3 more air conditioners. Because the electricity prices have gone up so much that one air conditioner costs around 50,000 rupees. So if you run 4 air conditioners, it comes to about 200,000 rupees. The minimum wage in Pakistan is 37,000 rupees, which is less than the total bill of one air conditioner. And that was not the case last year. I moved to London in June 23, and I swear that was not the case.
Wow.
We were paying like 10 to 12,000, 15,000 for one air conditioner bill. And now it's like, my math is not great, but it's 3 times in the last 1 year. So that is the situation just with electricity and energy prices. I know for a fact that people are downgrading on education, on medication, because they cannot afford anymore. There have been protest demonstrations by the bread makers in the past year or so, because they said the prices of flour, wheat flour, were doubled in the 2 months last year, and they raised the price of the bread. The government says, no, you cannot do that. And they came up with a very, very interesting solution. They reduced the size of the bread.
So you get a smaller loaf of bread.
Yes. So it's really, really bad there. So there was a strike by the traders, the business community, not the grocery shops, those, you know, corner shops and the markets who sell clothes, you know, not top brand, but the like lower middle sort of. They were all on strike. Why? Because the government imposed a new tax on them. And they say that in the last year, their sales have gone down by 70%.
Wow.
Which means the purchasing power of the middle class has gone down so much that they have stopped buying things.
when they're cutting down on education and medication.
Yeah, of course they're not buying anything.
It makes sense. Now, Pakistan has recently reached a deal with the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. It's a $7 billion deal. And people are obviously hopeful that this money could boost the economy. But this is not the first time that Pakistan has had a deal with the IMF. It was actually just in the beginning of the year that they received $3 billion emergency package. Did that translate into any improvement in the economy and in people's lives? And would this make any difference, this new deal, this $7 billion package?
You know where all this money is going? Mm. Like $7 billion now, $3 billion before that, $12 billion like a couple of years ago. Pakistan gets that money from the IMF and it spends it to pay back other loans. So Pakistan has, you know, huge foreign debt that Pakistan has to pay back.
Are you worried that the effects of this economic problem will last for years to come and even get worse, maybe?
I wish it, you know, it does not, but we are covering this story, economic problem story, for many years now. And it's been like this for like, since 2018, mm-hmm. it's been like that. 2017, actually, it's been like that. It's continuously going in the wrong direction. Yeah. And there's no plan to make it better. Mm-hmm. The whatever the governments are doing, it's basically firefighting. And in all of this, the Pakistan's economy is going down. Mm-hmm. People are suffering. 25 million people went below the poverty line in the last year or a couple of years. So that is the kind of situation which is really, really making things worse. Mm. And because of energy crisis, the industries are slowing down, agriculture is slowing down because the small farmers do not have money to buy fertilizers, to buy pesticides. So that is all becoming worse and worse every day. Mm.
So let's go back to the internet topic that we were talking about, because surely it's going to have a negative effect on the economy as well. A lot of people use the internet, even social media, for their businesses, especially small businesses, depend on it. What do you think is going to happen?
So there's this group of Pakistani entrepreneurs who use internet basically for e-commerce. Mm. And they had a press conference a couple of weeks back, and they were saying that this internet slowdown is affecting them in a big way. They are not able to fulfill their commitments to their customers, who are mostly outside Pakistan. And it's, you know, it's very easy for a customer to switch, yeah, you know, to other companies in India or elsewhere. And that's what is happening right now in Pakistan. The government is not really keen. I mean, obviously, they have this, their analysis, which is more important for them. Obviously, for them, in their point of view, this internet slowdown is security related. Mm-hmm. So security is more important than, you know. So they are focusing more on security and very less on these small and medium enterprises. And they are suffering. Mm. And people are losing their jobs. So that's what we were talking initially. That this is kind of a cycle that Pakistan is going into. And recovering from it would be more difficult day by day. Mm.
And when you were there, did you see people finding ways around this internet slow down and filtering?
Yeah. So
alleged filtering.
Yeah. So people were using VPN. But VPN would work for me. It's not enough for a business, right? The business cannot run on VPN.
On a different note, again, your team was working on another story, and that's about, let me see, rat infestation in the parliament building. What's that all about?
Yeah, so that is the thing. You know, as the economy is being eaten by rats of different kind, internet cable has been eaten by rats of different
kind. Chewed up.
Yeah. So, you know, these parliamentary rats are, it's a big story in Pakistan. You know, what happened was that there was a committee meeting, like there are committees and they meet and someone said, oh, you know, something went wrong there and let's bring that record. And they said, okay, we meet next week with the record. The next time meeting happens and the office comes and says, well, I don't have any record. It was eaten by rats. And the committee got furious. They actually thought he was joking.
But he wasn't.
But he wasn't. Because, you know, there's this story in Urdu and probably in Persian cultural stories, you know, so someone gave gold to someone else to keep it there. And when he went back to ask, give me my gold back, he said, oh, it was eaten by rats. So this record was eaten by rats. And, you know, there was no answer to it. Then they called another meeting with the administration of the parliament. What is going on? They said, well, we have rats, which we tried to control by hiring cats. That's how it works. And it did not work because the cats ran away.
Because the rats were too big, probably.
They were too big for the cats.
Wow.
So now they have advertised in the papers that if anyone has a solution, please come forward and take care of our rats. We'll give you 1.2 million rupees. I mean, it's a good money. I'll probably go and try my luck.
Thank you so much, Asif.
Asif Faroughi, who for now is an editor at BBC Urdu, but who knows, maybe one day he'll become Pakistan's most famous rat catcher. You're listening to The Documentary from the BBC World Service.
911, what is your emergency?
Most towns have a local celebrity.
Who is it that's missing?
It's my dad. He went out into the water.
An eccentric known throughout the community.
Inverness market trader Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Inverness revolved around Kim in a way.
Difference is, the local eccentric from my hometown made international headlines.
The man's son reported he disappeared in treacherous water.
Search and rescue teams thought they had yet another drowning on their hands. Or did they?
The story's not adding up.
He is completely unhinged.
It was violent, it was controlling, it was sadistic.
Dead Man Running, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Farnak Amidi, and this is The Fifth Floor. Now, did you know that filler words like, you know, I mean, and sounds like, exist in every language? In Farsi, my native language, the most common filler sound is eh, and my favorite filler word is khob, which literally translates to okay, with a question mark at the end. Researchers believe filler words have an important cognitive function. They allow our brain to buy time while it processes complex information or finds the right word. They are also a social cue, a way to let you know that I'm not finished talking yet. So I wanted to find out how filler words and sounds work in different languages. And I'm lucky to be here at the BBC with so many international colleagues, so I can ask them. Here's one of our digital specialists, Yanita Georgieva. So Yanita, you're Bulgarian, but you grew up in Beirut. So tell me about the filler words and the filler sounds that are popular in Bulgarian, and then we go to Arabic.
I love this question because it's so fascinating how we all rely on really specific words that we've grown up hearing to fill the silences. In Bulgarian, we say ami or nali, which basically means as if. Ami is kind of like an We also say smisl, which literally means meaning. We also say znachi, which also means this means. I think we're just constantly trying to explain ourselves. I think it's similar to Arabic where they say yani, which means this means. And it's really funny because my nickname is Yani. So, that's a word I hear a lot. I've just spent some time in Jordan. Jordanians say it. I know some Turks also say it. It's a common word across the board. I've even heard it in some rap songs. I mean, in countries where sort of more, immigrant communities are bringing in more colloquial language into just the everyday. For example, in Sweden, I know some Somali immigrants started using Walla and Yani in some of the songs, which is interesting to hear. So yeah, Yani is becoming very global. I think it's the final sound of that word that determines where you're from. So is it Yani? Is it Yani? And then you can pinpoint where someone's from.
Do you ever mix the filler sounds of Arabic and Bulgarian, or do you always switch correctly to the filler sounds?
Personally, I find that my brain has the easiest time when I'm speaking to my siblings, because they're the only ones that speak the same combination of languages as me. So they also grew up speaking Bulgarian and Arabic. With them, I mix fuller words all the time. And it's so peaceful and wonderful because your brain doesn't have to translate or move from one channel to the other.
Thanks, Janita. Next is BBC Mundo's presenter, Beatriz de la Pava.
The real queen of the filler words in the Spanish we speak in Colombia is pues. P-U-E-S. In English, is something similar to a so.
So is it just Colombians using it, or do you hear it elsewhere as well?
I've talked about this with friends from Argentina, from Chile, from Uruguay, and they don't really use it. I think that word is a word we inherited from the Spanish colonizers. They use it as well, but they pronounce it slightly different. They say, pos, pos es que, or as we say, pues es que.
So do you have any examples of famous people using and overusing a filler word and being known for that?
I do have one example of someone that overused pues. You know the series Narcos?
Yes.
Yeah. So the actor who was interpreting Pablo Escobar, he's Brazilian. He was trying so hard to sound Colombian, and in Colombia, all of us use pues quite a lot, that he was putting pues as much as he could in his sentences, but he was placing it in odd places. So it was very uncomfortable to hear. But obviously, that was a series designed mainly for like an English-speaking audience. So they didn't really care. But for Colombia, of course, yeah.
I was thinking, wow, for you, this he probably said,
oh,
Colombian.
My God, is it the real Pablo? But for us in Colombia, it was like,
stop it. So when you do like interviews, how much of these filler words do you cut out? Do you cut
all
them out?
All of them. All of them.
You said that was such conviction.
I transform. You give me a microphone and I'm another woman.
But no, what about your interviewee?
Definitely pues, because it makes it sound less clean, let's say, when you overuse any word, right?
Yeah.
It's the same as when you have the it just doesn't flow. So you just have to cut, 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 cut.
And now we want to get to the that you talked about.
Oh, yeah.
How different are they in Spanish and in English?
In Spanish, I would never use, I would never. It would sound like, what are you doing? That's so cringy. I mainly do eh.
But do you use Spanish ones in English?
Oh, all the time. And I love it. The one I use all the time in English is pues. And I'm sure that in a lot of interactions with English speakers, there are parts where they're like, what did she say? But then in the end, it's a filler word. So it doesn't matter, you know, they get the idea. Pues is such a big part of my language. So I just use it constantly.
Unapologetically.
Unapologetically. I even think it's attractive, girl.
Filler words and feeling attractive. Love it. Thank you, Beatrice. That's all from me, Farinak MED. And the Fifth Floor team was Alicia Joya and Hannah Dean. The sound engineer was Sue Mayo. You've been listening to The Documentary from the BBC World Service.
911, what is your emergency?
Most towns have a local celebrity.
Who is it that's missing?
It's my dad. He went out into the water.
An eccentric known throughout the community.
Inverness market trader Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Inverness revolved around Kim in a way.
Difference is, the local eccentric from my hometown made international headlines.
The man's son reported he disappeared in treacherous water.
Search and rescue teams thought they had yet another drowning on their hands. Or did they?
The story's not adding up.
He is completely unhinged.
It was violent. It was controlling. It was sadistic.
Dead Man Running, wherever you get your podcasts.